Welcome to The Worst Writer in the World with me, Rufus, and he's flying to a lake, he's freezing the lake, he's picking up the lake, he's carrying the lake back to a fire and dropping it on the fire, it's...
Howard Long, a.k.a. Jumpman.
I tell you what, here's a thought for you, yeah, go on. Right? Superman stole a lake, right? Mm-hmm. Someone might have needed that lake.
That's true.
Like, you know, people need... That might have been a reservoir, for all we know. That might have been the drinking water for a whole town, for a whole community. They're dead now, thanks to Superman 3. What about all the fish?
Oh, yeah.
He just cooked a load of fish. I hope he ate them afterwards and didn't just waste a load of fish.
Well, one of the deleted scenes, of course, from Superman 3 is after he picks up the lake, he also goes to a potato farm and he picks up a load of potatoes. Well, and he gets them... Drops them all. It's fish and chips for everyone. Everyone's happy. It's like, and the war isn't over. Yeah.
Save the world, except for those fish. But we are eating them, so it's, you know, at least we're not wasting them.
What about all those scuba divers that were in the lake when he picked it up?
Well, he didn't check if anyone was having a swim, did he? It looked like quite a nice day. I bet someone's dead.
Yeah. In order to save those few people with a tube, he murdered a lot of other people.
Yeah, all the fish, all the scuba divers. Not just swimmers, but scuba divers as well. Yeah. And, of course, that town that relied on that lake for water.
He hates water. That's what we've learned. He fucking actually either freezes it or dumps oil in it. What is his problem?
Yeah, he does. So, thank you to the British Comedy Guide for hosting this show. Thanks to every single one of our lovely patrons on Patreon for supporting this show. And hey, think about it, you could be one of those too. And I thank you personally every week. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
And thanks... thanks to you for listening to this show. All right, shall we get on with the final part of our retelling of Superman 3, Howard?
Yes, please.
Part 4, Superman versus Superman.
Ooh.
Gus uses a computer to search space for kryptonite, analyze it from space, and then they can recreate it because the computer told them what it's made of. But there is a problem.
Yeah?
Because a small percentage is just unknown. The computer doesn't recognize what it is. So Gus...
Argon.
He doesn't use argon.
Ballerina.
He looks at his cigarettes. He looks at his cigarettes and goes, I'll just put tar in.
Okay.
It'll probably be all right. Just add tar. It's probably tar. I'll tell you what, though. I hope this new kryptonite that I've just made doesn't have unexpected side effects like making Superman evil. That'd be a downside, right? I hope it still kills him.
Yeah.
So then Gus dresses up in military uniform and crashes a ceremony in Smallville where they're giving Superman a key to the town and does a load of yelling about plastics.
Yeah.
So then he gives Superman a green lump to say thank you for saving them from a chemical disaster. It's like, well, thank you for saving us. Here's a green lump. And Superman's all like, oh, look, kryptonite, the stuff that kills me.
He doesn't know that it is, does he?
He's like, thanks, General.
you can shoot lasers, you can reverse time, you can like kiss women's memories away, but he can't recognise a piece of rock from his home world.
Can't recognise kryptonite that kills him and has done in previous movies. he's like, oh, brilliant, thanks, what a nice and totally unsuspicious present that I'll keep in my pocket forever. Because, like, he holds the kryptonite and then it disappears.
Yeah, where
what
is it?
Happens to the kryptonite? Has he got it in his underpants
it's got
or
to
something?
Be right,
where
yeah.
is it?
It's got to be.
So, yeah, so this new kryptonite doesn't kill him, but unfortunately... It does turn him into an all-powerful sexual predator.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was saying about that's the most terrifying part of the movie.
It's horrifying. Mm. So Superman goes to Lana Lang's house for some reason, and the kryptonite kicks in while he's there for some reason.
Yeah.
And she gets a phone call. She gets a phone call from someone who knows Superman is at her house for some for some reason, right?
Yeah.
And they say a bridge is collapsing for some reason, and they're like, oh no, a bus full of school kids is
Superman
hanging off it or
come
something.
Come out and play.
Can he save us? Is he busy?
He's busy being evil. He's been evil at the
moment. He's stupid to be evil, yeah. No, he is. And that's the thing. It's like she's like, oh Superman, there's a bus full of kids. I think it's actually a truck, isn't it? But it feels like it should be a bus full of kids.
Yeah.
There's a bus full of kids hanging off a bridge. Can you go and save me? He's like, no, I'm a bit busy trying to nail my mum at the moment.
Yeah.
So we're, as viewers, we're going, oh, shit, what did Gus's rock do to him? This is scary.
he's like, no, I've got plenty of time to get there. I'm Superman. It's like, not in this movie. You're really slow.
Yeah.
You're so fucking slow.
Yeah, you've got to get the bus. Come on. So eventually he shakes it off and he's like, oh, shit, yeah, I have got to go and save those kids. But he arrives too late and all the kids die or whatever. And then Superman feels bad. He's like, oh, that was bad, right? So he cheers himself up by flying to Pisa and straightening the tower.
Love that as a kid.
Right?
That was amazing.
Like, yeah, it was, right? But as an adult, it's like, what the main effect of Gus's kryptonite is to make Superman want to fuck with national monuments.
It's like, I'm evil now. What will be my first evil act? I know.
But he isn't even.
I'll straighten something.
Yeah, because that's when he's feeling bad. He does that when he's oh, shit, I fucked up. I better go and straighten the... Also, I read this scene was intended for Superman 2.
Oh.
This whole Pisa thing was planned for an earlier movie that they didn't put it in. What the fuck? And he wasn't going to be evil. What the fuck was that about? He was just like, oh, I guess I'll help you straighten this tower then. Not realising that that guy is selling.
I suppose if it's like Superman like lived in Smallville and he didn't get a really like wide education and he didn't know that Pisa had a leaning tower. When he happened to be visiting there, he saw it was
just
like,
flying past
their tower's fallen over. Better put it straight. And then someone tells him later on, actually, that's supposed to be wonky.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's like, is it also like, is it a really stupid visual metaphor because he's horny for Lana? Is it an erection metaphor?
I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, definitely that's what it is.
Because it happens immediately after he's trying to nail his mum, right, and doesn't. And then he's like, oh, I better go and represent an erection somewhere. Where can I do that?
He's sexually
towel.
Frustrated because he didn't get to molest anyone.
It seems like that, right? Yeah, anyway, so it turns out that another side effect of Gus's fake kryptonite is that it makes Superman love doing pranks. Right. He suddenly loves pranks. So he goes to the Olympics, the opening ceremony of the Olympics,
and he
blows out the Olympic torch using his ice breath, proving that he can use his ice breath to blow out fires. That is a thing he can do.
Again.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Thank goodness he learned that before this scene. Otherwise, to do this hilarious prank, he would have needed to fly to a lake, freeze the lake, pick up the lake, fly the lake back to the Olympics, then drop the lake on the head of this runner who's carrying the torch.
Would have been a much better scene if he'd have done that. if anyone's watching this and they've got bare editing skills, then please do re-edit Superman 3 so that's what he does at this point. Anytime there's a fire.
All the Superman moves, if there's any fires in it and he puts them out, make sure he does it with that lake. Yeah, so Superman is evil now. But interestingly, this film actually has a pretty subtle idea of what evil can be, right? Because it's not just trying to take over the world or building murder computers in the Grand Canyon, spoilers. It's also being sexually aggressive and doing pranks. Right? So look out for Evil Superman's new YouTube prank channel. Well done, movie. You have shown us that true evil is just overconfident men with too much power being dicks. That's the theme of this movie, because it's not just Superman. That's also what Napoleon Solo's doing. It is men with too much power who and too much confidence just being assholes to people in some way. That's what evil is. So equally, sexually aggressive, taking over the world with a supercomputer and YouTube prank channels, equal level of evil is what I'm saying. Anyway, so then we cut to the penthouse office of Napoleon Solo, the other evil character in this movie. And Gus, at this point, Gus tells Napoleon Solo that he wants to build a supercomputer for some reason.
Yeah.
And fortunately, Gus has already designed it on the back of some napkins.
Yeah.
That programming evening course that advertised on the back of matches that Gus went to once was really effective. Because he's designed the greatest, most powerful computer in the universe of time and space. A computer whose merest operational parameters he is not worthy to calculate. And yet he has designed on the back of some fucking napkins.
One of the most amazing things later on is when the people are there building that supercomputer, they don't have blueprints. They're still using those napkins.
Really?
They have the napkins and they're looking at it and going like, yeah, the supercomputer goes here. So that's fantastic. It. No additions to
there's
it.
No,
it's like,
no more
this
detail.
Is it.
It's yeah. just I scribbled some rectangles, basically. Can you build it? So, yeah, Napoleon Solo looks at the pictures that Gus has drawn. his doodles.
Yeah.
And he says, what will it do? And Gus says, anything we tell it. Shoot missiles, trap Superman in a bubble, turn your sister into a robot. You know, anything. Absolutely fucking anything. So the next thing that happens is that Gus uses a regular computer to send all the oil tankers in the world to hang out together in the middle of the ocean, right? Because that's what Napoleon Solo wants him to do.
Yeah.
Because that'll make him rich somehow, okay? And all the oil tankers do it. They all just go, like, wherever they are in the world, except for one. One rogue oil tanker where they say, that's a stupid order. Ooh, yeah. Why would they want us to go and just hang out in the middle of the sea? Let's not do that. But all the others are all like, yeah, yeah, of course I'll hang out in the middle of the sea with all the other oil tankers in like a little group.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So meanwhile, Miss Tessmacher, or whatever the blonde woman is called in this film,
yeah,
goes and sits on the head of the Statue of Liberty to flirt with evil Superman.
Yeah.
She's just hanging out on the hat.
On the hat, yeah.
On the hat of the Statue of Liberty, because she knows sooner or later Superman will see her up there, I expect.
She's not seen the rest of this movie, because if she had, she'd know that going being up high and danger of falling is not something that attracts Superman anymore. She should have dressed up as a penguin
set
fire to herself.
Yeah, she was there.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was there on the roof. Mm. She watched that happen. Mm. So yeah, she knows two things. Number one, Superman won't save you if you fall off a really, really high building.
Yeah.
Number two, you don't need him to, so it's fine.
Well, she's part of the evil kryptonite plot. So what she probably does know now is that Superman wants to bone her. So she just picked the highest point she could think of where he's likely to spot her when he's out for a fly.
Yeah, and we don't know how long she's there for. She might have been there for 4 days,
yeah,
just waiting for him to fly past. But eventually he does.
Yes.
He turns up and he says something like, I hope you don't think I'm going to save you because I don't do that anymore. I don't save people anymore because now I am evil Superman.
Yeah.
So she says, no, I don't want you to save me. What I want you to do is I want you to fuck me.
Yeah.
But only after you rip a hole in an oil tanker for me.
Yes.
Could you do that and then we'll bone? And he's like, yeah, all right then. Yeah, that seems normal. I'll do that.
Yeah, then. So to reiterate, Superman wants to fuck a woman on top of the Statue of Liberty, but she'll only do it if he attacks a boat. This is... That's the plot, right?
That is the plot that they wrote, that the two people who do not understand how anything in the world works, they were like, well, you know, romance, you know, dating, you know, when you want to sleep with someone, but first they give you a little quest. You know, well, for Superman, that could be ripping a hole in an oil tanker, couldn't it? And he'd do it because he's evil. And evil Superman doesn't question anything. I mean, you don't have to be good to go, what? Why? Why do you want me to do that?
Mm.
Weird blonde woman sitting on a statue's hat.
Yeah, but he's evil. He doesn't care.
If he doesn't care about, like, he was chatting up Lana. That didn't work out. Now he's just going for random women on statues. If that, like, if she doesn't work out, he should go and find another one.
That's
he should
true.
Go back to the Tower of Pisa and see if there's any women on that who don't want him to rip a hole in a tanker first.
Yeah.
So he does that. He goes and rips a hole in the side of a boat to let all the oil out.
There's no way that's getting back in either, is it?
No, of course not. He definitely doesn't have blow oil back into a boat power.
No.
Kissing people's memories away is more convincing than that little
Yeah,
moment.
He should go around the world and do that to everyone so they're all like, don't know how that hole appeared in that boat.
Yeah, but because he hasn't got super speed, it's going to take him a long time to kiss everyone in there. And because it'll take him so long, by the time he's like just even just a few hundred thousand people, that will be on the news and everyone will be watching it going, apparently Superman's kissing everyone. And they'll be like, I wonder why. You know, I don't remember much of the last 24 hours. What about you? Yeah. Okay, so then Superman goes back to Miss Tessmacher's sex loft.
Oh,
because they're not going to do it on the Statue of Liberty. They're doing it in the sex loft. No, he goes back for his sex prize, and the most disturbing thing is, and like gets it, like they do it.
Yes,
there's even a deleted scene I watched of the evil sister woman in the next room reading a book about advanced computing, and she can hear them doing it in the next room. Right?
Wow.
So, and she's going, "Oh God, stupid Miss Tessmacher, and having sex with Superman." While I'm trying to read a book.
Wow, I suppose they cut that because it's a children's film, maybe?
Yeah, but it's still really weird. Explicit. Like, yeah. I tell you what, it's one of the most disturbing shots as well, because Superman's being evil, and he kind of cradles her head and goes in for a kiss, but it looks like he's eating her. And the way he grabs her, there's something really disturbing. Again, it's like you feel he looks powerful in that moment, like Christopher Reeve looks very powerful and she looks very delicate, and suddenly he's grabbing her head and going in to bite her face off.
Yeah, because...
and then they kind of like they pan up so that they go down below the shot, so there's no doubt about what's going on. It's just they don't put the sex noises in like they did in the first version,
because you do kind of imagine that she's not wasn't planning on going through with that. Like, this was just part of Napoleon Solo's plan.
Yeah absolutely. All right, so meanwhile, in a nicer, less disturbing scene, people are beating each other up over petrol.
Oh, yeah.
And helicopters are flying computer parts into the Grand Canyon.
Ooh.
Although I did read it's not actually the Grand Canyon, right? I always assumed it was.
Me too.
I don't know if it is in the movie. It's not filmed in the Grand Canyon, the bit where they go. I know, I realise the computer part is probably filmed in a studio. Mm. But you know, I'm not suggesting that I thought they actually built... I probably did when I was a kid.
Well, yeah, because if they filmed that chemical plant in an actual chemical plant, they obviously went to the real... Yeah. Grand Canyon and really built a supercomputer that really did turn that woman into a robot, and that's what happened.
I think so, but yeah, but the surprise is apparently it was a different canyon. It's not the Grand Canyon, it's another big canyon where they built that supercomputer and turned that woman into a robot.
Everyone was like, you've got to be careful, because this is a real turn you into a robot computer, so don't anyone step in that bit. Oh no, when the actresses got in, our insurance is going to be through the roof.
Yeah. I mean, if you watch the interview with the director, he's like, well, you know, it was a little bit dangerous. Yeah, obviously, if the wind had changed, we'd all have been robots. Cut two. Superman is drinking in a bar and flicking peanuts at bottles of liquor to smash them because his prank show has gone dark. And when he leaves the bar, there's one of my favourite lines in this film. He's looking really annoyed and everyone's looking a bit scared.
Yeah.
And then Lana Lang's kid is there, Ricky, who's famous now for being able to explode explode bowling pins.
Because they've moved to Metropolis, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if he is in Metropolis at this point. They certainly
Smallville?
Do, but I think this might still be Smallville.
Okay.
But what happens, as Superman's walking around looking really annoyed, you hear Lana's kid shout, Superman, you're just in a slump. You'll be great again. What the fuck is this line? And also, because like after that, the words circle around in Superman's mind, so you hear them more than
once. Yes, it's like Father Ted, right? Yeah. Second best priest. Second best priest. Yeah.
It is, because they thought that line was so good and so, like, you know, expressive of the character moment we're experiencing. You're just in a slump. No, I'm not. I've been turned evil by kryptonite.
Can I say, though, because Superman's got a history of going to bars and being mean, but, I mean...
Has he?
Yeah, in Superman 2, after he regains his powers, he returns to a bar because like somebody beat him up there when he was just human powered.
Oh yeah,
and he delivers a massive punishing. Superman beats the shit out of someone when he's good. Superman breaks a load of shit and like tosses the bartender some money and says like, oh, you know, that'll pay for that. It's like that's not the point.
Right, yeah. No. Yeah, it's bad that you got beaten up by a guy who was stronger than you at the time, but now you're doing the same, but also much worse because now you're Superman and he's dead.
Superman, aren't you supposed to be like for justice and peace? Shouldn't you go to the bar and take that man and take him to do restorative justice or something? Not beat the shit out of him and smash up a bar. So whatever happens in this bar is actually less worse than what
it
he did.
It is less worse. You're absolutely right.
Than what he did before.
Yeah, because the only thing that gets hurt here is alcohol.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I mean, that guy did deserve it. The alcohol didn't do anything.
That's true, yeah. What did alcohol ever do to anyone?
All right, so, yeah, Lana's kids' words are circling around in Superman's mind. We can see that this is a real kind of... This is the most extreme point of his evil Superman-ness. And so he goes quickly to a rubbish dump to get his head together, and he screams. He screams a bit. He's like, "Ah, no, don't put that helmet on me. Where's Padme? Is she safe? Is she all right?" Mm. He's very upset.
He is.
And then Clark Kent walks out of him. So that's a twist. It turns out Clark was a ghost all along. Mm. But some ghosts don't know they're ghosts living in Superman's body. And then Superman beats up Clark.
Yeah, it's such a strange sequence.
It is so odd. I mean, it's in such an otherwise literal movie, it suddenly gets very metaphorical in this bit. And because you've been watching something so literal, a series of movies that are very literal, it's difficult not to read it as literal, just to go, "Oh, now we're dealing in metaphor." No, this is real. Clark's ghost just walked out of Superman. That actually happened.
But there's something, there's something fun, something that doesn't, that just makes no sense at all. Well, I mean,
No, go on. Tell me about the latest thing that makes no sense at all in a film written by people who don't know how anything works at all.
But, like, if this is metaphorical, right, when Clark Kent wins the fight against Superman at the end, why is he in his Clark Kent clothes? Because Superman, right, is flying around dressed as Superman. He squeezes out a metaphorical Clark Kent of himself.
Yes.
They have a big fight. People's tyres get thrown.
Yeah, the tyres do get thrown. You're absolutely correct.
There's a shaky device, like in the end of Grease. I'm pretty sure there's a swimming pool full of acid, which is a...
There is a handy vat of acid. That's one of the first things that happened, right? Superman beats up Clark for a while, and then Clark punches Superman into a big vat of acid that's just lying there, open to the sky, just a
that
massive...
You have, the regular
big
things
tub
you
of
have
acid.
In, Yeah, go on. Tell me the fight, because I don't remember exactly.
Superman beats up Clark a load. Then Clark punches Superman into a vat of acid. Then there's a really stupid bit where Superman says, "You always wanted to fly, Kent. Now's your chance." Right? Explain that to me. "You always wanted to fly, Clark Kent." They're not two people. Why did the writers forget the moment this started? The writers completely forgot that these are not two separate characters.
Yeah.
They like came up with a metaphor and then immediately forgot what it was. And that's so odd. "You always wanted to fly, Kent." Are you telling me that Clark Kent sits at home looking at pictures of Superman going, "God, I wish I could fly"? Like, you fucking can. It's like, it's not the suit that makes you able to fly, and you don't become a different person. That's an act.
Do you think that, like, it's a kind of, it's like Fight Club then, and like Clark Kent doesn't know he's Superman? This is just finding out now.
That would have been an amazing twist. We all think he's being really clever and devious, but actually he's just got a mental illness. So Superman says that, and then he kind of throws Clark Kent around a bit, and that's him flying for the first time ever, because Clark Kent's never flown before.
Nah.
So that's nice for him. And then Superman puts Clark in like a trash compactor, in a big crusher thing, and Clark gets squashed to death. Right, that's what we see next. Like, we're all troubled because Clark gets crushed to death, and Superman like kind of starts walking away, and we're all like, "Oh dear, Clark's dead. Oh no, hang on, Clark is Superman, so he's probably not dead and flat."
Yeah,
and also this makes no sense because who is fighting who?
Who did he just throw in that trash compactor? Who's he just murdered?
Yeah, if this is a delusion, just some guy who works
there.
There should
like the thing should roll out, and there should be a dead trash man there.
Then the next thing that happens is Clark gets out of the trash compactor and starts throwing tyres. And Superman just kind of stands there like going, oh, this is kind of a fun game. I'm quite enjoying this.
He gives him a prize because he gets him and he gets all, of, the, big all of the hoops over the Superman.
Yeah. Here's your goldfish in a bag. No, he stands there for a while and then bursts out of them.
Yeah,
because he's good. Superman, and probably a couple of tyres aren't going to stop him. And Clark Kent should have known that, you know. Like, and then Superman drops a big magnet on Clark.
Really?
But Clark is fine, because like, why don't they know each other's powers? They keep doing things to each other that don't work because they're both Superman.
Is he trying to pick him up though? Does he think he's made of metal? Is that what's happening with the magnet?
It's like, yeah, this guy's very strong. He must be made of metal. Maybe I can magnet him to death. Anyway, so in the end, Superman knocks Clark out with one punch and puts him on a conveyor belt, right? Mm. And we all go, oh no, Clark's one weakness, conveyor belts. Or maybe metal grinders, because that's what it's going towards. But then it seems like at this point, the writers remember that this is supposed to be a metaphor, because after Clark goes into to the grinder, he bursts out and strangles evil Superman to death, then pulls his shirt open to reveal a bright and clean Superman outfit like the one we all know and love from Superman's 1, 2 and the first half of 3.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. That's where it's like, if Clark Kent wins and he's good again and everything, and he's wearing his stuff and he goes like, look, I'm Superman, there's my real Superman underneath, and he just murdered evil Superman. But it is true, and all this did happen, and that was metaphorical. Does that mean that scene in the bar when he was flicking peanuts at alcohol, he was actually dressed as Clark Kent and he just thought he was in a Superman outfit?
When he goes
back to Smallville,
well, yeah. When he goes back to Smallville now, people are going to hate him. Yeah. They're like, you're Superman, and B, you're evil. All right, pay for my drinks, damn it. And we all saw you when you blew that bowling ball at those pins. We knew you were Superman anyway, but we kind of put up with it because at least you were nice. So then the Superman music plays because we're all triumphantly happy that Superman's back to being good again. Hmm. And Superman flies around fixing all the things he fucked up during his prank show.
Wow.
So he fixes the oil tanker.
Hooray!
And I've got a bit of a surprise for you. Because the way he fixes it, you're gonna like this, because he uses his powers. You know, he's Superman, he's got a lot of powers. Mm. And he uses his well-established and very familiar blowing oil back into a tanker power.
Yeah.
So he blows all the oil back into the tanker and there's no oil. And then he uses his heat vision to seal up the tanker. So, you know, it's lucky that tanker's not full of some highly flammable and volatile substance. Or he might have caused a whole new disaster, like setting the sea on fire, you know, and in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, where it's a long way to the nearest lake he can fly to, freeze, pick up, carry back to the middle of the sea, where he can drop it to put the sea out.
Brilliant, yes.
So then Superman goes back to the sex loft, because I think he wants more sex. I mean, he's straight back to the sex loft.
Yeah.
For more sex, because he had it as evil Superman, now he wants it as good Superman. He wants some good Superman sex. But unfortunately, Miss Tasmacher's not there anymore. But a video is.
Ooh.
And on the video, Napoleon Solo's evil sister says that Superman can find them in the Grand Canyon, even though, at this point, Superman has no idea that these people are behind the bad shit that's been happening to him recently, because the plots have not intersected whatsoever. He's met Gus pretending to be a general. Mm. He's met Miss Tasmacher, who wants to fuck him if he rips a hole in a boat. This woman on the video is saying, "Ah, you can find us in the Grand Canyon." He's like, "Who are you? Why would I want to find you?"
Yes,
I've got to find the woman who made me rip a boat apart, because that's the only person I know who might be actually evil in this movie that he's had nothing to do with.
Is it addressed to Superman? Could it just be a video that he happens to put on?
Oh, you think it's addressed to Gus or something?
Yeah.
Come and join us in the Grand Canyon, Gus, maybe. But yeah, like, nothing that's happened in this movie is linked in Superman's mind. He doesn't know that the coffee thing and the oil tanker thing and the weird kryptonite thing are all being done by the same people, because he's not
He's not, because he's not a journalist, is he? He's not a journalist trying to figure anything out.
No, he's some shit columnist who writes about his high school reunion. Mm. He's not an investigative journalist in this movie.
Maybe that's what Lois Lane could have been doing throughout the movie, like trying to figure out who's behind this scheme, and then she tells
she
Superman.
She told him. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Because he's too busy trying to bone Lana Lang or whatever. Part 5, Superman versus a balloon. So the three bad guys, which is Napoleon Solo, his sister and Miss Tessmacher, take flying machines down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. Mm. But Gus takes a donkey.
Yeah.
Who knows why? They just thought it would be funny. They were just like, look, Richard Pryor on a donkey, come on. We've got to get that in this movie for some reason. Probably this whole sequence. Like, there's no reason for them to build the supercomputer in the Grand Canyon, right?
Yeah.
They could just, like, he's rich, he's got buildings, they could put it in a warehouse. Mm. I reckon it's purely just to get Richard Pryor on a donkey because they thought that'd be hilarious. And mm-hmm. It kind of is, right? It is pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I remember as a kid thinking that was funny.
Yeah, that's exciting. But I mean, of all the people that shouldn't be frightened of a balloon, it's probably him because he skied off a 100-story building earlier. He should be like, whatever.
Yeah, if it doesn't work, I'll put my skis on first. Before I get into this thing, I'm going to put my skis on just in case it doesn't work. Then I know I'll be safe.
I mean, it kind of turns. I mean, like the Grand Canyon kind of looks like Tracy Island in this, as far as I can remember. It's just like little things open up and spaceships come out and stuff. It's like
so they've gone to Tracy Island. And when they get to the bottom of the canyon on Tracy Island, all the bad guys turn out to be computer experts as well. So that's a nice surprise for us. So they probably did that hour course as well. After they found out Gus could do anything with computers after only an hour, they were like, well, we should do that too, right?
Yeah,
so they activate the computer and set it to attack Superman using a video game.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. It's amazing.
And they shoot like 100 missiles at him and then get him with one really big one, which knocks him out.
Yeah, because you get points on that game as well. But like, there's no kind of explanation of how those points are kind of determined, because nothing's actually happening to Superman. He's like going, there's like 100 points, maybe, what for?
Maybe Superman's getting the points.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. All
right, so anyway, then eventually Gus arrives on his donkey and then Superman wakes up. He's been hit with a big missile, but just kind of knocked out.
Mm.
But fortunately, Napoleon Solo has an evil balloon.
Oh, really? I don't remember.
He's got
this
an evil balloon.
Balloon.
He puts it. He shoots it at Superman, and then he's trapped inside this balloon.
Okay, right.
Do you remember
that? Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah,
it's like a bubble, like a sticky bubble.
It's incredibly specific that that it has that particular thing on it, and I know that this computer can do anything. But I mean,
anything you ask it to.
But it can't really tell it. Because does that mean that it's got like...
It can do three things.
Because if it's got like some form of gun, it's like this gun can shoot bullets, it can shoot cheese, it can shoot balloons around Superman. Because you can't...
Yeah.
You've got to build a specific thing that does that. And that sounds like what they've built. What Gus wanted to build was a Superman killing computer.
Well, when they talk about it earlier, he says that it would be a computer that can find anyone's weakness and exploit it. So the idea here is that it's finding Superman's weaknesses. And obviously later it gets him with a kryptonite beam, but his first weakness is missiles. Didn't know that, did you? And his second weakness is massive balloons. So it's just working through his weaknesses. Yeah, he's famous for that. Kryptonite, massive balloons. Yeah, that's what they all say about Superman, isn't it? Oh, he's powerful and everything, but don't get him with a big balloon. And to be honest, they're easier to get than kryptonite. Because you have to go to space for kryptonite, but massive balloons, that's easy. You can get
it's a tragic irony of Superman, of course, because he spends a lot of time in the air, which is where balloons... It's the natural habitat of the balloon.
All right, so Napoleon Solo has an evil balloon, and at this point, Gus shouts out that he's not with the bad guys. He's like, Superman, I'm not with them, right? Suddenly he loves Superman, and the people he has been working with, who he asked to make this specific computer, he said a computer that will know people's weaknesses and exploit it, a computer, in Gus's words, that will do the thing it's doing now.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm not with them, right? Which would make a lot more sense, for example.
Yeah.
If he felt he owed Superman something. Like, if they'd met in any other situation except him pretending to be a general and giving him something that was supposed to kill him, right? I don't know, maybe if Superman had saved him when he fell off a building earlier. Because, you know, at the moment, like, Gus is definitely... He is with the bad guys, and they're all standing in the evil supercomputer that they built for him so that he could kill Superman, which he's already tried once. The only time Superman's met him is when he tried to kill him. Superman's going, you're the bloke who turned me evil.
Yeah, and this is a specifically a Superman-killing computer that he was like... Because he had a computer that could do anything, but he was like, I need a computer that can do anything and also kill Superman in lots of various ways. Why do you need that?
Yeah.
Is it because you hate Superman? No, I love him.
He's brilliant, yeah. Okay. Why? It's because when I fell off a building earlier, he didn't save me, and that's how I learned that I have super skiing powers. And if he had saved me, I wouldn't have known that. So then the bad guys get Superman with a kryptonite ray. Gus still wants to save him, and no one knows why. Just because he's like a normal person who has sympathy for other people. He doesn't like watching people suffer, but he does want a big supercomputer that can murder anyone by sensing their weakness and exploiting it. You know, like, just like a normal, consistent character.
Yes.
So Gus is really upset by watching his supercomputer do exactly what he designed it to do and said he wanted it to do. Right? He's really, really troubled by that. So he runs off and basically unplugs it. Right?
Well, he's like Oppenheimer, isn't he? You know, he made a bomb to kill everyone, but he was like, oh, I didn't think you'd use it to kill everyone.
All right. He has become death, the creator of big computers in the Grand Canyon. Yeah, so he actually just unscrews something and the machine turns off. So,
he does.
You know, he just...
It's a killer's screw. It's a worse design, that thing, because there's a one screw, right? And it's a red one or something. And and it's like a worse design flaw than that hole in the Death Star.
I was going to mention that thing. But what I reckon happened, here's what I reckon happened, right? Gus designed that computer, right, on his own, on some napkins. But when he was in the cafe doing it, Mads Mikkelsen came in.
Yeah.
Right, and went, have you thought about just putting a little flaw in, just in case? Because it is a death computer, right? It is designed to... So if you want to switch it off, you want a little flaw, just make sure that your daughter doesn't steal the plans and take it to some rebels or whatever the fuck that film was about, right?
Yeah.
All right, so then we all realise it's been far too long since there's been any slapstick, so we better solve that. And so Richard Pryor and Napoleon Solo do a nice comedy bit with the screw. Right, so that's fun, and eventually the machine comes back on, and it's out of control. It's feeding itself. It wants to live.
Shit,
is I think what Gus says, and then Gus smashes the kryptonite ray thing with an axe, and then the computer makes him fly using a beam. Right, and that because that's his Achilles heel, of course, because falling that he's fine with that, but going up. Going up is Gus Gorman's Achilles heel.
Yeah.
All right, so Gus smashes the kryptonite ray, which releases Superman. But Superman's looking pretty... He's looking pretty fucked by that. Like, it's really, really done him in.
Yeah.
And so Superman gets up and leaves.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's
like,
gonna go...
Fuck this.
Isn't he going to go and, like, do some pranks and be a predator? Because, I mean, if he's been zapped by the kryptonite ray, that's what it does to him now.
The kryptonite ray that these people made, you've got to think.
They
haven't worked out what unknown is, have they? All right, so the next thing that happens is the computer sucks the evil sister in and turns her into a robot. In what is absolutely, right, the single scariest thing to happen in a movie ever.
Yep.
Right?
Like,
there's nothing more terrifying in any movie, including all horror movies, than this moment of that woman getting sucked into it and screaming as it puts bits of metal all over
it. It's the speed of it. It's how quickly it gets on with the task. It's like,
and all happening at once, like her hands and her face, and it's all utterly terrifying, right?
Mm.
Then Superman comes back.
Hooray!
Turns out he didn't leave. He just flew to a lake, froze the lake... picked up the lake. No, but it is connected to that.
Yeah.
He didn't do the lake thing. What he did is he went and got some of that acid from earlier that the man, the weird man who was looking after it, said could eat through metal and anything else if it gets hot.
Wow.
But I'd say in that scene, he says like metal, concrete, anything.
Mm.
And I feel like the strong implication is people, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're not worried about the buildings, right? When we're watching that fire, we're not going, oh, those poor buildings, will they be okay? We're worried about the people, right?
Yeah.
But it's now it's made very clear that it does not eat through people. When he said concrete, metal, anything, he actually just meant concrete and metal.
Why does he throw it at Robert Vaughan or something and he's fine?
No, it's just they're all still there, right? They're all still, like, he heats it up and it's just like smoke everywhere and they're all just still around and it destroys the computer, but the people are absolutely fine. So this proves that earlier on when Superman was at that fire, he was just trying to save the buildings. Like, he was, like, because at first he was saving the people, we saw that, but then the scientist was like, no, don't save the people, because if this acid gets too hot, it'll kill all the buildings. And he's like, oh, I better fly to a lake then. Shit, gotta save those buildings. But the lake's 5 miles away and I can't fly very fast in this movie, so a lot of people are going to die on fire while I'm putting while I'm saving these buildings with a lake.
His arch enemy is Bruce Willis, of course, because Bruce Willis loves attacking buildings and this guy, he's like, loves saving them. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got some other acid that when it gets hot, it kills Bruce Willis. So he's ready. He's ready for when Bruce Willis arrives. But then Bruce Willis doesn't know he's dead and just keeps attacking buildings. Yeah. All right, so the acid destroys the computer and Superman wins.
Hooray!
And by also, this at this point, you do have to kind of pay attention to notice, but the sister is not a robot anymore.
Okay.
Like, you see her not being a robot, which means what must have happened is the acid melted the metal off but didn't hurt her, right? Which it just proves that the acid, it eats through metal, concrete and everything else except people, right? And everyone's fine. I mean, they are buried under rocks or, like, falling 20 metres to the ground from where they were being held by lasers and stuff. But, there is that cloud of metal-eating gas, but they're all fine. So, because it's a kids movie, and so they should be.
Is it? I mean, like, I know that Superman saves Richard Pryor. What happens to the rest of them?
He just leaves them there.
So he doesn't arrest them or, like...
No, well, he picks Gus up and just goes.
Oh, right.
Maybe he thinks the long walk back to civilization is punishment enough. I don't know. But yeah, no, he picks up Gus and flies him to that junkyard that he fought himself in earlier for some reason. He's like, I've got some really good memories there. Let's go back there. And while he's there, he crushes a piece of coal into a diamond.
Yes, he does.
Famously. And recommends Gus for a job. Because, like, these two are best friends now for some reason. Because, like, Superman's all like, oh, I really like you. I like the way you've tried to kill me twice. And that's all. You deserve a job.
The best bit is that they're like, don't they immediately offer him one, though? Even though they've got no...
Well, I mean, to be honest, if Superman turned up and said, this guy's brilliant, you should give him a job, you might do. Yeah, you know, but you're in a world where you think Superman's amazing. You're like, and he doesn't give a lot of personal recommendations. I think it's very rare that you're doing a job interview and Superman's there going, yeah, I think he's good. I think you should hire this one. Because, you know, he tried to kill me with a rock and then a massive computer in the Grand Canyon. So, like, you know, they don't come much better than this guy.
Well, maybe the reason he takes him to this junkyard is because he recognises in Gus something he sees in himself, that there's an evil Gus and a good Gus, and he expects that what's going to happen now is that Gus is going to climb out of himself and, like, have a big battle in an acid bath.
Yes, he should be more specific. He should be like, give this guy a job, but only after he's had a fight with himself, punched himself into that vat of acid, put himself in that trash compactor over there. tired himself, absolutely. And then strangled himself to death and then like pulled his clothes off and he's got clean clothes on underneath. When he's done that, the one that's alive, not the dead one, but the one that's alive, you can give him a job, all right? Yeah. Oh, like, okay, sure. All right, thanks, Superman. Thanks for the recommendation, Superman.
Yeah.
And of course, so Gus, like, Superman flies off and they're like, do you want a job, Gus? And Gus says no. Because the thing he's learned is that jobs suck.
Yeah.
Right? Because the one job he's had in his life led to him building a supercomputer in a canyon and almost murdering Superman. Like, what if he'd taken that job? Superman, what is he going to do? Steal loads of money from the company and murder everyone?
Yeah, probably that's it. I mean, he's had a job now, and he's had it for quite a while, I guess. So he can probably go back to the Social Security and say, like, I got fired from my last job for trying to kill Superman.
Then Clark goes and finds Lana and gives her the big diamonds that Superman made. And he says, here, Superman made you this. but he doesn't tell her it's actually coal.
Oh yeah, because famously Superman, one of his yet another skill of his is he can magically turn anything into diamonds.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's what he should have crushed Gus. He should have turned Gus into a diamond. All right. So then, cut to back in Pisa. That guy who was selling models of the Leaning Tower of Pisa has got a load of new ones, a load of straight models.
Brilliant.
Not realising that the only reason people go to Pisa is because it's leaning and they want to take that exact same picture that everyone takes in Pisa. They're not going to be able to do that with a straight tower, are they? No one wants to, like, they don't want to go in there, 500 people all like posing next to a straight tower. Here's a picture of me leaning on a straight tower. Isn't it hilarious? But it's okay because Superman comes back, puts it, like, leans it over again.
Yeah, he does.
Pretty sure that tower's going to fall down pretty soon. You can't do that to towers.
No.
All right. So, like, just after the scene ends, like, the man's looking at it. He's upset, but then the tower falls down and he goes and gets a normal job. Probably working with computers. I've heard there's a lot of money in it. And then Superman flies to space for no reason and the movie ends.
Worst writer in the world. Worst writer in the world. Worst writer in the world.
Very well for you to sit there in your lofty tower of disdain, kind of like handing out insults to these poor screenwriters, and you think it's so simple and so easy to write Superman 3.
No, I just think they could have tried a bit harder.
How many Superman 3s have you written? Right?
Now you've got a point there. I have written zero Superman 3s.
Yeah. Well, in that case, well, maybe it's time to rectify that.
Oh, shit. No, I can't write Superman 3. It's already been done, right?
Yeah, but it, like you say, it is really awful. Maybe what you could do is you could be an amazing script doctor and you can go back and look at Superman 3. Now you've identified the problems. Now you've got to put into action.
In detail.
Yes, for 3 hours. Now put into action all your amazing ideas of how to make it better. Like, you know, like... You know, putting Superman in it and things like that.
Or take Superman out of it.
Yeah, maybe that would really improve it.
Yeah, that could work. Mm. All right, so you're saying I should write a pitch for a different version, like what Superman 3 should have been, kind of
thing.
Yeah,
all right. I suppose you don't have to write an entire 120-page screenplay, no. Yeah, you can just write the pitch, yeah.
All right, thank you. All right, I will do that for next week then.
Brilliant.
All right, so if you'd like more stuff by us, then you can get it at patreon.com/manbycow for as little as $2 a month. It's worth a look at least, isn't it? Just have a little look. That's free.
Have a little look. Brilliant. If any of you were thinking that Christopher Reeve Superman was a really, really great guy. I happened to catch a brilliant video on Facebook recently doing the rounds.
I forgot he was a white man in the past. Oh no.
It's from Film 85 or Film 86 or something. But it's really interesting seeing it because they're interviewing Margot Kidder and Christopher Reeves and he's saying why he did it. He said, I said I wouldn't do another one because it had to be really important and it had to be like, mean something and the character.
It had to be about throwing nuclear bombs into space.
Yeah, and you cut to
Margaret, if it's not, then I'm not interested.
Cut to Margaret Kidder saying, well, he did it for the money. And it's like before, I guess it's before publicists existed or whatever. So they're just talking really honestly about it. And she's explaining how Christopher Reeves said she couldn't be the love interest because she's too old.
Oh, shit.
Even though they're a similar age. And then he starts talking about how everyone thought he was really sexy when he played the incredibly scary, sexually aggressive Superman in Superman 3.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He says everyone really liked that.
No, he wasn't. That wasn't sexy. That was terrifying and horrible.
And he talks about trying to, like, balance the sexiness of Superman and everything, but he thought everyone... And so instead of having Margot Kidder, we're getting some woman who looks like she might only be 17.
Oh, no.
So we can all enjoy that. I don't think she was, but she... I think she's in her 20s, but she looks super young. So don't worry, anyway, he's dead. So...
And before long, all of the terrible people from the past will be dead. I mean, they're going. They are going. So just all you young people, try not to just do it again, all right?
Yeah.
try not to just replicate what our generation and previous ones did. Please, please, go on, do,
but if
be
you,
better.
If you've got a spare moment, do go search that out. Superman 4 promo on film 80-something or other. Okay. It's just great to see two people talking at odds.
Oh, God. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye, Milk.
Bye-bye, Milk.
He's a stupid, suck-ass, rubbish writer. Yeah.